Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. You'll remember a few weeks ago when Dr. Gregory Liptak, world-recognized autism expert and professor at SUNY Upstate, joined us to talk about autism. We discussed diagnosis, what little is known about causes, and some new approaches to research being done. But what we didn't cover then, and perhaps is of most interest to parents and families of children with autism, is what's being done for children who have been diagnosed. That conversation requires Dr. Carol Grant, who joins us this morning from SUNY Upstate's Margaret L. Williams Developmental Center. Dr. Grant's the director of the center. Good morning, Dr. Grant.
Good morning, Tricia.
And welcome back. We had you here last spring to talk about your autism conference, which you have every spring,
right? Yes.
But actually, this morning we wanted to talk more about the center because your services are much broader than just autism, and I hate to say just autism because that's huge, but I wanted to talk about all those services. It's actually, it's part of SUNY Upstate, and you provide what? Social services, medical services, diagnostic services. Tell us about them.
Well, thank you for asking me to be here again, Tricia. Yes, the Margaret L. Williams Developmental Evaluation Center has been around for about 25 years. It is a partnership program between the Office of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disabilities and Upstate. And as you said, we do a lot of autism evaluations and services. In fact, over 50% of our services are geared to children who have autism and their families. Let me just give you a broad brushstroke of what the kinds of services we can offer families. First of all, we do our diagnostic work, and that is what we're most known for, and that is we have an interdisciplinary team which consists of a psychologist, a physician, a pediatrician, a speech pathologist, an occupational therapist, and a physical therapist who see a child in the course of one day. So a family would come in with their child. The child would spend the day with us, obviously with a lunch break, and at the end of the day, they would have some sense of what would be a thorough look at who their child is and what are their child's learning strengths and difficulties and challenges, and maybe if identifiable cause for why the child is not doing well can be identified, we would also share that.
And how old are these children?
We only serve kids under 10.
Underage 10.
Under 10. So we do a lot of infant, toddlers, preschoolers, and the early elementary school age children.
Now let's talk about these children for a moment. These are children who have, you suspect, some sort of developmental disability, not necessarily autism, but any developmental disability. And what kinds of things are the parents observing that would make them want to have their children evaluated?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, for the diagnostic program, these children often have a recognized difficulty that the pediatrician or a child care worker or another service has already identified that there is definitely something awry with that child's development.
Such as
a child is not talking or not talking as well as they should be for that age. So we commonly hear the story of, I went to a family gathering and my niece is 6 months younger and is talking better than my child. And so the mom has become concerned and perhaps already had an evaluation but then the service providers say, there's something else going on here. There's more than just language. Okay. And that's a red flag that there's a broader developmental problem.
And what about something like they're having trouble in school with their reading, for instance? Is that something that triggers a visit?
Well, not for our center, because a child who is reading is an older child and is more of a learning disability.
Okay. So it's not learning disabilities they come to you for.
Well, because we deal with the younger children, by the time they're in school and if they have gone through, developed normally up to that point, it would be, more considered a learning disability, and would refer them to learning disability experts. We deal with more the complex child, the more disabled child, if you will.
Okay.
The child who, in the younger child. Again, our services primarily go up to 8 with some up to 10.
I see.
Psychiatric. So it would be more that the child who's not walking, at age expected, not talking, not relating, not showing the proper social awareness.
Okay.
Even with infants, if you pick up an infant and you look at the baby and the baby looks at you and you coo to the baby and the baby coos back, I mean, that's communication.
Sure.
Babies communicate right early on.
Sure.
And so if there is something awry in just that whole progression of development, which parents are usually very sensitive to.
Sure, because they're reading all the books that tell them what their children should be doing at certain ages.
Or just, you know, if they've had another child, or they, like I said, they are exposed to other children, they can see it's just not right.
Sure.
And that just leads me to the other program we offer. We do the diagnostic, and that's usually for kids who already have identified difficulties.
Okay.
But we do have a program that's smaller that is called the First Look program. So if you do have a parent who's anxious about their child, worry because they aren't talking and mm-hmm. are not looking like the other children that they know, but doesn't know where to go and not ready to go get a full eval, we can send a clinician out to just take a look. We call it our First Look program.
Uh-huh.
We often go into daycare centers where the daycare center said this kid just isn't fitting in, but mom is reluctant to go any further.
Sure.
And with mom's permission, we'll go in and we'll see, you know, is this child that much different than the other kids? And perhaps it's just a poor match between that child and that teacher who maybe wants more structure, more kids falling in line, and this kid is just a little bit more antsy, more active, and not doing that.
Yeah.
And really, the kid's okay, just not in that classroom.
You know, it strikes me that you probably run into two different kinds of parents here, and this goes back to my teaching days, because I did teach elementary school for 8 years, and I had parents who wanted to ignore any kind of problem their child had, because by ignoring it, they didn't have to label it and they didn't have to do anything with it.
Yeah.
And then I had parents that wanted to make sure their child was tested for everything, that they wanted to have labels because then they could make sure they could do this or this or this. You actually see the parents who are engaged.
Right, right. We see the kinds of parents you just described, and we just see the parents like you and I who don't see their child not doing what others are doing.
And they want their children to have the advantages they can have.
Right.
Yep. What about, now you said so the parents who just kind of aren't sure, they just want to have somebody take a look. That's great. But then do you have programs for children who have been evaluated? You know, you talked about more than 50% of these children have autism. What can you do for these parents who are now going to deal with a lifelong disability for their child, such as autism?
Well, we are very fortunate to live in New York State because of the public funds available for early intervention, the kids birth through three, mm-hmm. and preschool special ed. So, as I said, not every state has this. We are lucky in our community. We have a lot of very strong programs. So if we see a child who needs ongoing services, we'd refer them to the programs.
Okay.
However, if that's insufficient because the child may be doing okay at school, but at home there continues to be difficulties, because some of these kids can be very challenging.
Sure.
We have an older child where the school may not have had a child with this complex disability, we can be available to offer some short-term consultation for that school.
You can.
And this is all new to us because we've just received a very substantial grant from Kohl's, a department store.
Nice.
To do outreach program. And those resources also have allowed us to create a workshop, which we call KidSpeak, a puppet workshop, to help teachers and young children understand autism and Asperger's. And this is a program that we just launched, mm-hmm. and we're very excited about it.
Now, when you say to understand autism and Asperger's, so is this program aimed at the children with autism or Asperger's, or is it aimed at the other children around them to learn about it?
It is aimed to help everybody understand it. So we have presented to a class where mm-hmm. there is a child who is on the spectrum.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yes, and we have, in those cases, we carefully work with the parents and the teachers to make sure that we don't negatively impact that child's role in the classroom.
Sure.
But it is, and we also are targeting the other kids, and by talking about how we're all unique, mm-hmm. however, we all have our strengths and our difficulties. We find some things hard, and yet everybody enjoys, you know, having friends
sure.
and meeting friends. And
absolutely.
So we try to cultivate, we try to minimize some of the stigma around being different mm-hmm. and celebrate our differences and just say, hey, everybody wants to be friends and perhaps you could be friends.
Absolutely. You know, going back again to my own teaching
yep.
experience, I know that I could have pointed out every child in that classroom and myself
yep.
and said, okay, you're good in this part, but you're not necessarily,
right.
you might have challenges in this part. We
right.
all have that.
Absolutely.
It's just for some, it's a lot more evident than others.
Right. And we also want to give the teachers and the kids a way to talk about that difference. So we have a little worksheet that goes along with it. And we also provide through the workshop strategies for the teachers to help them understand that there are some ways where you can work with a kid whose extreme differences are undermining their learning. We, through the workshop, can offer suggestions.
So if there are teachers listening this morning, or even parents with children who want to alert their teachers, they could contact you
Absolutely.
And arrange for this program. How do they do that?
They can call 472-4404
okay.
And ask to talk to somebody to sign up for the Kids Speak program.
Excellent.
And it's geared for grades 1 through 3.
Okay, excellent. All right, and I do want to make sure, too, that parents who might have an interest in having their child evaluated, they should do that, what, through their pediatrician, perhaps?
No, they can call directly.
They can.
And again, we see the more complex developmentally compromised child,
mm-hmm.
so we will we'll get information from the parents about their child and what supports they have, and if it seems like a multidisciplinary approach is appropriate, then we would certainly offer services.
Very good, very good. So again, let's give that phone number again.
472-4404.
Okay. And we will also link to the information you have on the web through our HealthLink On Air website, because I know the URL is kind of long and that I don't want to give that to people, but they can come to our HealthLink On Air website
thank
and link
you.
To it. Well, Dr. Carol Grant, thank you so much for coming by this morning. We've learned a lot about the Margaret L. Williams Center, and I think a lot of parents will benefit.
Terrific. Thank you.
Listeners, we do need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.